There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good late afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacob, co-host. TJ Inman will be along with us shortly, along with special guest MattBeaverGeek.com. First things first, we have some sad news to report. A day after suffering fall and having to go under emergency brain surgery, former legendary coach Bill Mallory for Indiana football has passed away. It was announced on Twitter by his son, Kurt. The outpouring of support for Coach Mal and the IU program back in the 80s, 90s has been tremendous. If you are on Twitter or are on social media, take a look at some of the videos that have been posted about him from IU. There's a speech in the Michigan State locker room that just sums him up as a person after a defeat that if they had won the game, IU would have gone to the Rose Bowl with that dignity and class, go into the Michigan State locker room and tell him to give him hell out in California was tremendous. So right now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your fondest memory of Coach Mallory? All right. Looks like we do not have TJ here just yet. Matt, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Matt. We're bringing in Matt Weaver from Peaks.com. Matt has been around Indiana football for a long time. Sad news today with the passing of Coach Mallory. What memories do you hold on to from him?
Well, I mean, when I was real young, I obviously followed Indiana football and went to a lot of games. And you know, for me, it'll be the games that I went to. I was at the 87 Peach Bowl when they got beat by Tennessee. It was a great game. I was at the Independence Bowl, which was not as good of a game when they got beat by Virginia Tech, but still a lot of fun. When I was in Michigan as a kid, saw them play Michigan State, and one of the big pictures of him is being carried off the field by his team, and it was a game they won 17-14 at Michigan State, and I was actually at that game. So just, memories like that. But one of my best memories would probably be when Bill Lynch was the coach and I was at practice, I think it was during fall camp, and positioned myself near Coach Mallory, who was there. So hopefully I could talk to him. And I actually got to talk to him for about 15 or 20 minutes. And it was just really, really awesome because as a kid, he was one of my heroes. I mean, he did things with Indiana football that had never been done and still haven't been done since he left. I mean, 6 bowl games in 8 years for a lot of programs is no big deal. For Indiana, that was unbelievable, and it still is. So, that just talking ball with him that day, watching practice, just some guy that, was nobody to him, but he treated me like, we had been friends for years was just was really a highlight for me.
Right, and a lot of good stories. And if you do have stories, we'd love to hear them. If you want to email us or tweet us, go ahead and do that. Put it in the comment section in our forums as well. Kurt Mallory, Bill's son, also said the family has set up an email address so that people can send in their memories as well. We put the email address in the story we put out. It is BillMalloryMemories@gmail.com. If you have a tribute, any stories, quotes, stuff like that, I know they would appreciate it as well. And now we do have TJ Inman in. TJ, what were your fondest memories of Coach Mal in this program?
Yeah, I mean, his prime as a coach was, certainly
before I was reasonably following IU football. I'm 30 and was born in 87, so my memories of it tend to be more interviews with Coach Mallory, as he comes back to Indiana, which he's continued to be involved in the program and in the community of Bloomington. Certainly he's kind of seen as, to me, he's always kind of been seen as the grandfather of IU football, a guy that I, as I said, I didn't really have a lot of experience or memories watching his teams. It was more him coming back and being interviewed on the sidelines or just seeing him at the games and knowing what his teams accomplished and then seeing the highlights of all the really, for Indiana, great teams that he coached. And a couple of them, can be considered legitimately great teams just on a Big Ten level, which, as Matt said, going to 6 out of 8 bowl games, that's not something IU football teams do. We're just thrilled to go to one within a player's, 4-year career. I think he kind of – I think ever since Bill Mallory has been the head coach, Indiana has been kind of searching for a return to something that resembles that level. And so far it hasn't happened. We certainly hope Coach Allen, who I think has some similarities to Coach Mallory in terms of how they approach the game on a coaching level, I think that we hope that he can get us to that point, but Bill Mallory did things in Bloomington that it's going to be hard for anyone to replicate. And so my memories of him are not really from a football standpoint, more from just a respect for what he was able to accomplish. Because I think had he been given an opportunity at a program with more resources, who knows what he would have been able to accomplish in his coaching career. But I don't think he would trade it because of how much he loved Indiana.
Yeah, and that growing up in New York, I really didn't start following IU football until 2002. So I missed those years, and I miss watching Coach Mallory, at least later on in his IU career. But he was always around the program. The last few years when I've been around the program, I never got a chance to talk with him, but he was all around. He was the ambassador, it seemed. All these other coaches who came in, I think it had, and Matt, if I'm wrong, that he had, a welcoming sense about it, even though, there was a lot of controversy about him being let go, and he could have held that bitterness inside and have done what other coaches have done and just spurned that school. And said, you didn't give me enough to do. I did great things here and forget you. But that speaks to what kind of man Bill Mallory was. He came back. He loved this school and this is a loss that IU fans are going to feel. And hopefully this season they could dedicate the season to him and do something on the field. Win some games, get back to a bowl game and do it for Coach Mallory. And maybe, on the other side, you see a throwback uniform. I saw some people wanting those throwback uniforms to Coach Mal's teams in the mid-90s with the black face masks and the block eye and things like that. So hopefully IU has something cool up their sleeves to honor this. He's a legend. I mean, to me, he's more of a legend than you guys who actually saw him coach and things like that. So it's more of a legendary mythical figure about that. But Matt, let's move on from this sad story. We'll touch upon it all season and reflect on Coach Mallory. The big news out of this week was the announcement that Hunter Johnson is transferring from Clemson and has, it looked like, 3 schools with Indiana, Purdue, and Northwestern. What can you tell us the latest about that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as I put out earlier this week, Indiana's right there in the thick of it. You know, I got more confirmation of that today. You know, they're in the mix. You know, where they are and what, if there's an order, I don't know if that's been determined yet. I think there's probably maybe there might be another school or two on the list. I'm still trying to nail down who that might be, but I feel very confident that Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern are three of the schools that he's strongly looking at. You know, as far as, you know, other questions I've been asked on the board is the time frame. You know, I'm not really sure. I think ideally you probably like to get this done as soon as possible so you can get into summer workouts with your new team. But the one thing with that is he's not going to play this year, obviously, because he's got to sit out as a transfer. So time is not as much of an urgency as it might be if you were like a grad transfer or somebody who's going to play right away. You can take a little bit more of your time. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure, like I said, you probably want to be with your team, but you don't want to do it, make a hasty decision and make maybe the wrong decision just to try to get in for summer workouts. So, you know, he could take the summer if he wanted to and show up before a fall camp. I don't think it'll go that long, but he doesn't have to make a decision this week because, like I said, he can't play right away. It's not like it's going to impact his ability to get on the field because he can't by NCAA rules. So it's definitely something that's, you know, that Indiana would obviously love to add him. He's, you know, this is a guy who could be in the NFL in a few years. I mean, he's got that kind of ability. You know, he's a very talented guy, you know, number one or number two quarterback in the country when he came out, five-star player. So, you know, this is the kind of guy that, I mean, you had this Indiana quarterback room in 2019. You could have him, Michael Penix, Peyton Ramsey, and then maybe somebody else that you get as a freshman in that class. You know, and that's a heck of a quarterback room. I mean, that's talent like Indiana's ever had at the most important position on the field. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I can see the draw to some of the other schools, obviously, with Jeff Brom at Purdue. You know, their offense is, you know, attractive for a quarterback. His brother played at Northwestern, so they know that program well, and Coach Fitzgerald. So, you know, obviously some tough competition, but with Mike DeBoer and Nick Sheridan both being from Tennessee when he committed there, the family knows Dave Ballew, the strength coach, from their days at Avon. So there's a lot of connections for Indiana, and I think they've got a good shot to get him. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah,
and Matt, one thing I wanted to ask about, and kind of mention, I guess, is, and I don't know if you have any insight in this, but I think at least on paper, it seems like the main reason that he's going to be transferring from Clemson or is transferring from Clemson would be their addition of Trevor Lawrence, who is considered by many to be, you know, one of the best quarterback prospects that there's been in the last 10 or 15 years. Was it strictly just did you get a sense that it was just he didn't feel like, you know, after Kelly Bryant and then now Trevor Lawrence, do you get a sense that he felt like it was just somewhere he'd probably not see the field as the main reason that he was seeking away or seeking a different school? Or do you think there was more to it than that?
No, I think this is an opportunity to try to get on the field. You know, Hunter had a very good spring. I mean, arguably as good as Kelly Bryant, anybody at Clemson, you know, but I've said it before, and I understand why guys from here want to go to some of those schools in the South. I mean, I get it, Clemson or Florida or Alabama or wherever it may be. But the thing is, if you're close with the kid who's from, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is from Cardinal, Georgia. That's like Georgia's version of, like, you know, Carmel or Warren Central, but bigger. If it's close, they're going to play him. Because they don't care if they piss off the Brownsburg head coach. They do care if they piss off the head coach at Cartersville High School in Georgia, because that school is a factory. And, you know, if it's close, I'm not saying it's, you know, I'm not trying to call it the Clemson staff, but that's just how it's going to be for all those programs in the South. I mean, that's just what you're going to do. If you're smart, you do it. Now, if Hunter Johnson's clearly better, you're going to play him. But, I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence is really good. Kelly Bryant's really good. I've heard Dabo Swinney will err on the side of playing veterans or returning players, even if maybe they don't play as well as the guy who, like Hunter Johnson or Trevor Lawrence. I think it's just a case where, you know, this kid understands he's got a chance at the next level. It's not guaranteed, but if he sits for a couple more years, there's just no telling what could happen. You know, he may be, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the kid from Ohio State that went to LSU. He's really good. He's good enough to play at Ohio State, Joe Burrow. But it's, you know, it's if you're not going to get the full chance to shine, and I don't blame guys. I mean, your college career is very limited. It's a small window. And if it was my kid, my son, I would say, hey, you know, I think sometimes fans think, well, it's afraid of competition. I mean, if you're jumping from school to school, I could see that. But, you know, this is, you know, in both cases and in other cases, these are guys that are good enough to play. They just want to get a chance to get on the field and have the chance to play professionally if that's in the cards for them. So I think it was really just about having that opportunity to go somewhere, be the guy for a couple years, and then see if, you know, that leads to your realizing your dream of playing NFL football.
Yeah, and this has a – if it is between all those schools, between Purdue, Indiana, and Northwestern, this has the potential to swing the balance of power in the Big Ten, especially in the Big Ten West, if that's where it goes. What is the impact of this transfer that happens?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, obviously you have three schools that are competing a lot on the recruiting trail. I think what the biggest thing this could be is, you know, maybe this sways. I don't think David Bell's not really looking at Northwestern, but, you know, maybe this sways him between Indiana and Purdue. I mean, those are two of his final schools. Bryce Kurtz, who's a Brownsburg guy. Now, he's a couple years younger than Hunter, so it's not like they have a real strong, you know, like, relationship. I mean, they're friends, but it's, you know, they're two classes apart. So it's not like they hung out a lot. They were teammates and all that. But it still could sway guys like that. I mean, guys want to play with players like this. You know, and some of these local guys, they obviously remember. I mean, Hunter Johnson was just in high school football just a couple years ago. 2016 was his senior year, so, you know, they remember that. They know how good he is. So in some of that, in that case, I think that could help. I mean, it could draw offensive talent to whatever program he goes to, and, you know, give them a boost as far as that goes. And then if he is what everyone, you know, what he's done on the field, you know, like he did at Clemson last fall and in the spring, it's obviously going to boost your team, because this is, you know, arguably the second he steps on to he goes to one of those Big Ten programs, he's arguably one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the conference. I mean, he's got to go out and prove it and play that way, but on paper, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the conference wherever he ends up.
All right. Thanks, Matt, for joining us. We'll let you get back to golfing or whatever it is that you do on a 90-degree day in Indiana. Anyway, enjoy the holiday weekend.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Good stuff from Matt Weaver from Pigs, as usual. And we'll get back into some Hunter Johnson stuff, you know, later in the week. As it develops. But right now, TJ, we are less than 100 days from kickoff of the 2018 season. Our countdown to kickoff is underway. We had number 19 with Alan Stallings and Nathaniel Schneider today. But on day 100, I gave 10 things that I wanted or I was looking forward to watching this year with Indiana football, TJ. We'll go through, we'll give a cup each before we wrap up. But the first thing that I'm looking forward to, can IU bounce back after a disappointing 2017 season? You know, there was so much hype coming into last year with Ohio State as the season opener. You had the breakthrough mantra. You had a lot of talent coming back on defense. You had a lot of talent on offense that ultimately got hurt or you're missing it for all or parts of the season. But can this team bounce back now? They're going to fly a little bit under the radar. Expectations have been a little bit hushed, at least from a national standpoint, with all these preview magazines. And then, you know, on a local level as well, you're losing T. Gray Scales, Chris Covington. You lose Chase Dutra, Tony Fields, Richard Fane, a lot of pieces. So can they bounce back is the number one thing that I'm looking forward to this year. How about you, TJ?
I mean, I think that's definitely a an important one. I mean, it's an interesting one and certainly an important one. I wouldn't say IU can't afford it, but it certainly would be a blow to the program to have Tom Allen's first two seasons be non-bowl seasons. That would really hurt and take away any momentum that had been gained over the past couple of seasons. We're not ready to make predictions on anything, but I think one thing that I'm really looking forward to watching is the running game. I think that Indiana is in line to have a much more dynamic and exciting, fun-to-watch running attack, and also a much more effective running attack than what they had last season. That's for a number of factors. I think the offensive line is going to be improved. They have a chance to be much improved, and if it can turn from an okay offensive line into a really strong one, which I think it has the potential to do, given the depth and the returning pieces and the addition of Linder and the growth of some of the young guys that have had quite a bit of playing experience, this could be a very strong offensive line. So that plus the addition of Brandon Dawkins, which I think, you know, fits what Mike DeBoer wants to do and what he was able to do in his best years as an offensive coordinator. And then I think the running back group, we've heard a lot of positive things about them. Craig Nelson getting onto the field, Ronnie Walker getting onto the field, and then bringing back Ellison and Cole Guest. I think that there's a lot of pieces there that will make this a very fun and exciting running attack. And if the offensive staff is willing to get creative with the weapons Indiana has, guys beyond just the running backs, but guys like Jawan Fillier, I think that this can be a very, very exciting year to watch Indiana run the ball. And, I mean, honestly, that's the type of team that I want to have as the one that I root for, a physical team capable of having big plays, running the ball, not necessarily grinding opponents down, but just really demoralizing them with the ground game and then using that to open up the pass and hit them with some big pass plays. So I think Indiana has the potential to have that happen. They just have to go out and do it on the field with the weapons at their disposal.
Yeah, and they bring in, like you said, Linder, and these guys have played together, so you'd think that there will be a bump in performance as well. So that's another thing to watch. You know, to go along with that, my third thing on my list was IU has a really good chance to get out of the game quickly. Conservatively,
yep.
Them going 4-2, and if you want to take a risk, 5-1. They open up at Florida International. They get Virginia at home, which they lose a lot of talent off of that team, and they get Ball State at home to wrap up the non-conference. You figure that they should be able to go 3-0 there. Then they have Michigan State at home, or they travel to Rutgers and Ohio State. So, if you could get off to a 4-2 or maybe even a 5-1 start, and the opportunity is there to at least get, 3-4 wins. And if you could get five, you're cooking and setting yourself up for a really nice season. Four wins, you're doing what you're supposed to against Rutgers and those non-conference games, and you're setting yourself up for a bowl game. Anything worse than 4-2 through that first six games, and you're looking at, you may miss a bowl game. So, but they do have a chance to get out of the gate quickly before they get into a really rough October, where they play a lot of teams, and then they have Minnesota. Have to go to Minnesota a short week. And things like that. So it gets really, really tricky there later in the year. What's your next one, TJ?
I'm going to turn to the other side of the ball. We don't want to be the guys that just focus on offense. So I'm going to turn the other side of the ball and kind of I'm looking forward to seeing how this young defense how they play. There's a lot of talent, but a lot of guys stepping into either increased roles or new roles altogether. We're not sure how it's going to go. I think there's a general level of optimism, number one, because of the talent that is in place. And number two, I think the more importantly is the belief in the defensive staff, mainly Tom Allen and Mark Hagan. I think that they have earned our belief and the benefit of the doubt that they'll be able to get this group to play pretty well. Now, how well is up for debate. If this defensive group can, you know, gel, particularly at the linebacking core, if they can gel and at least start out solidly and not be a sieve in those first couple of games, they can build some confidence and get themselves into the feel of what they're doing so that by Big Ten play, maybe that inexperience is not such a huge factor, and they can have a really nice season. Because I do think that there's enough talent along the defensive line, some hope for some new blood along the pass rushing front, as well as some guys that redshirt freshmen that can step up. There's talent at linebacker, but it certainly is the spot that you maybe feel unsure about. And then the secondary is really loaded with talent, to be honest. I think it's probably the best secondary that they've had at IU in my lifetime. So I'm excited to watch this young defense play and see what they can do.
Yeah, and, you know, the secondary, I said, you know, I thought was it might be the best on paper in 30 years. You get Marcelino Ball back and things like that. And then finally, my last thing to watch, if you want the complete list, you know, head over to the site and check out 100 days. But my thing is, can IU reclaim the old Oaken Bucket? This game, you know, I think this rivalry is back with sizzle. Purdue, you know, fired their shot across the bow last year. And, you know, it's IU's time to respond. This game is at home. It's a game where, you know, IU needs that win for bowl game. You know, Purdue showed last year that their fans are going to show up, and Purdue's going to be pretty strong again this year with Sindelar and Blau back and that running game back. And, you know, we'll see what they have on defense. But, you know, Jeff Brohm turned that program around in year one, and that fan base came out with a vengeance last year. So it's IU's turn to show Purdue fans what they're about as well. So, you know, if a bowl game is on the line for IU during the Oaken game, that place better be sold out because that's a challenge for fans. Threw down last year to IU when they took back the bucket. Plus, this is now I don't know how long Jeff Brohm is going to be at Purdue. And I think that they're a dark horse in the West. They get all the contenders in the West at home. But they still have to knock off Wisconsin, but they get them at home. And who's your biggest rival? This rivalry is back, and I don't want to wish the season away because I hate doing that, but it's probably the game I'm most excited about that's on the schedule.
I mean, I would agree with you. The rivalry is certainly feels like it is on the up. I don't know how long Jeff Brohm's going to be there, but I don't think he's going to bolt, after this season, for instance. I think he's going to be in West Lafayette for at least a few years. I don't think it's going to be just a stopover for him. We'll see. I mean, we both could definitely be wrong. Who knows? Maybe a job opens up that he just can't refuse. We have no idea. But for now, he's in West Lafayette. That's a program that is feeling pretty good about themselves, understandably so. I would say in terms of quality of team, I think Indiana has more offensive weapons and speed than the Boilermakers do. Defensively, I think both teams are looking to – are needing to replace quite a few valuable pieces. I like Indiana's secondary quite a bit better than I do Purdue's, but I like Indiana's secondary a lot better than a lot of teams. Purdue probably feels a little bit better about themselves than IU does at linebacker, maybe. Although I think Indiana's got maybe take that gap away if there is one. Defensive line, I don't think either team is, you know, amazing at that position, but I don't think it's a weakness for either one either. So Purdue certainly feels better about their passing at quarterback. I think Indiana has a much more dynamic runner at quarterback, whether that's going to be Ramsey or Penix, or as we expect, Brandon Dawkins, the grad transfer from Arizona. I think both teams are the two teams are going to be constructed and play differently, but I think in terms of quality, it is pretty close. And Purdue probably has higher expectations for this season simply because of the schedule that they have lined up for them. That doesn't mean that the results will follow that, but that's what it looks like heading into the season. None of those things are going to necessarily matter when they do lock horns in Bloomington for that Old Oakham Bucket game. It's certainly one that's going to be a ton of fun to watch, regardless of what's at stake. Hopefully, for our sanity, during that game and leading up to that game, I use already locked up a bowl game, so we won't have to worry about the stress levels that game. That situation might induce that rivalry healthy with both programs competent. They're not great, but both are competent right now. I think that's the least you could say, is that both programs are competent right now, and that's more than can be said a lot of times over the last 20 years where it was, you know, Purdue was really good and IU was lost in the wilderness, or when IU got its act together somewhat, Purdue was, you know, certainly out to sea with Daryl Hazel. So it's exciting to have both programs at least on a competing level, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm really looking forward to kind of my final one. I'm looking forward to seeing, and it kind of goes in line with what you said earlier with how does Indiana respond. I'm looking forward to seeing what Indiana's strength and conditioning program, which we've heard so much about, and there have been such rave reviews of Coach Ballou and Dr. Ray. I'm looking forward to seeing how that translates onto the field. Does that mean IU is able to perform a little better in close games? There seems to be a quiet confidence that might be the case. And if so, it would have a big, big impact on the season. So I'm looking forward to seeing that translate to the field, because the numbers on paper certainly indicate there's some huge, huge things going on thanks to those two new guys on the staff. And I'm anxious to see how big of an impact that actually has on the field.
Yeah, and that's a great point. They lost so many games to injury last year, to big-time players that they needed, that maybe, you know, if Nick Westbrook plays all year and Marcelino Ball plays all year, you know, they probably go to a bowl game. They probably beat, you know, who knows what they do up at Michigan State. They don't know.
And that's not just last year. I mean, that is a consistent theme for the past 4 or 5 years. Key injuries, close losses, you know, late game. I mean, multiple games where it's right there at hand and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. You know, right there, they run out of gas. They needed a big play by a receiver to break loose. You know, Donovan Hale went down too. You know, Ian Thomas was hurt a lot of the time. So, TJ, that does it for tonight's show. I do want to send out our thoughts to the Mallory family. You know, I thank you for doing what he did to the Indiana football program. And I know a lot of people respect him, and I'm looking forward to hearing all the stories that come out about him, you know, as he coaches and all that stuff. So, very sad day in Indiana football, but the season now 99 days away, and we'll be closer. We're doing the kind of kickoff again. We'll come back daily. Check out which guys he's taking the field this year. TJ, enjoy your Memorial Day. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely, yeah. Same to everybody out there. Happy Memorial Day, and enjoy the nice three-day weekend for those of us that have to work for a living. And hopefully we'll, you know, we're going to start ramping this thing up on a weekly or at the very least bi-weekly basis. So hang with us. Keep on listening. We'll get through this off season together, and FIU week will be here before we know it.
Yeah, and it will. It'll go by pretty quickly, of course, but keep coming back. Anyway, that does it for tonight's podcast. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter, @Hoosier_Huddle. Instagram as well, @Hoosier_Huddle. And we'll take all the way. Enjoy the holiday weekend, and thank you for those who sacrificed so much to protect this country as well. So, happy Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk again.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.